We are now unmuted and... Did that music cut off too fast? I still don't know how to fix that.
I'm more interested by those noises you just made. Are you typing things the way an anime character would?
Yes.
Just a second, I'm just tweeting out.
Tweet it out, yeah.
I've tweeted out the wonderful announcement that we're now live.
It is true. We are here. We are live. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Slightly Something Else. This week, Yahtzee and I are going to talk about Resident Evil. We're going to talk about the best Resident Evil, which is Resident Evil 4, and then the other ones.
And let's not... Yes, and we're talking about this, of course, because Resident Evil 8, Resident Evil Village, has just... I was about to say come out, because I just started playing it, but of course it hasn't just come out. I've just started playing it, because I'm a reviewer, and I'm connected, so
ooh,
there.
Look at you flaunting, if you will.
But it's a big release. Nice to have one of those, isn't it?
After all this
bloody waiting time.
It's been a long time since the last big video game release, yes.
And everyone's talking about big titty goth girlfriends.
That's all the internet cares about is well-endowed, voluptuous women who may or may not be vampires.
Yes. Nice rewording of big titty goth girlfriend there.
I tried it. I'm a thesaurus, Yahtz.
You sure are.
Because, and you know, this is a conversation that Yahtzee and I were having before the stream, because I don't believe it's just about the big titties. I think that the internet has fallen in love with the big titty goth girlfriend because of the all-around voluptuousness.
Yeah, well, some might say voluptuousness is big titties. So in a way, it is just the titties.
It's a general curvy, hourglassy. She's got a lot of meat in a lot of places, is I guess what I'm saying.
I think a lot of it is that people like empowered women.
Oh.
People want to be suffocated under the folds of an empowered woman. There's something in that. It probably says something about the current generation, what things become meme-worthy. In this case, getting smothered by evil vampire mummy.
You know, is this any different than Attack of the 50-Foot Woman?
Well, I suppose you're right. Or Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, which we were talking about earlier.
The original big titty goth girl.
Yes, yeah, it's always been a thing. It's just recently, only really recently been formalized in the phrase big titty goth girlfriend.
Which is a phrase I have not ever heard until you said it earlier today. I mean,
well, I keep hearing it. I was wondering where it originated from, but it's just a meme, you know? It came from wherever memes come from.
I've heard all of those parts of the phrase in separately, but not all together as if it were a meme. You have once again opened my eyes.
But anyway, as the title of the podcast says, we need to talk about which is the best Resident Evil, which is, as you said, Resident Evil 4. Now back, all right, that's that determined. Yeah. Back to the big titty goth girlfriend discussion.
Great. Well, I think it's really empowering for cosplayers of different sizes. I think, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun with...
Actually go back to the big titty goth girlfriend discussion. I was being facetious.
Oh!
You're generally not really a fan of Resident Evil or horror games in general, you were saying.
This is a really true thing. I love Resident Evil 4 because Resident Evil 4 is a big schlocky action movie that also has some horror elements.
That's why it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would go as far to say that Resident Evil 4 is one of the most pivotal games in the history of gaming generally.
Ooh, all right. Elaborate on that.
Well, it came out towards the end of the PS2 / GameCube era. It was originally GameCube exclusive. It was one of the Capcom 5, which I did a video on in Zero Punctuation once. That's a long story not worth getting into right now. But it looked like it was from the generation that would follow, graphically speaking. Mm. It looked really good for its time.
Mm-hmm.
But it also pioneered a lot of gameplay innovations that became de rigueur in later years. the over-the-shoulder shooting thing. The stuck to the buttocks camera following sort of thing,
which you
can see in games like Batman Arkham Asylum and quite a lot of third-person shooters these days.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget that it's also a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to play because it is like horrific. Mm-hmm. There's lots of gore and violence in it, but as you say, it's also very camp.
Yes.
And if I were to put my finger on when Resident Evil is good, it's at its most good when it's horror and action, but also at its most camp.
Hmm. I can agree with you there. I think, like, you know, the El Gigante fight early on is a big fun thing. The first time you see, and it's been years since I played this game, the guy with the chainsaw that chainsaws you in half. Oh, that's super fun.
Yeah, that's certainly a watershed moment in that game.
Really is.
Where you're holding your own against a crowd of zombies, and then a dude runs up, and you think you'll be all right because you're on full health, and then he just motherfucking chainsaws your head off, and you're dead.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Because if you were the protagonist of Resident Evil 7, you could probably just put your head back on and be none the worse, but that is neither here nor there.
Well, and
Resident Evil 4, for the longest time, was, to my mind, the only good Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. I was never into the series up to then.
Okay, so like the original PlayStation 1 ones you weren't into.
Yes. I tend to think Resident Evil 1 was a bit overrated. It did pioneer a lot of things and crystallize a lot of what we know of as the survival horror genre.
Sure.
But it was camp in a less self-aware way, which wasn't as good. And there were I have a lot of issues with the fixed camera design that just made it kind of unintuitive to play.
Ugh. Yes, the awful tank controls that would swap anytime you would swap cameras. So we would be walking in one direction, turn a corner, change cameras, and all of a sudden you're walking in the other direction. Oh, hated that. Hated that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And forgot what I was going to say now.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
look at me, Mr. Professional Podcast talker, like,
so,
I got my second COVID injection on Saturday. Did I mention that?
By the way, it does stuff like it makes you tired for like a week afterwards, and it does make you a little forgetful.
Messes with my head.
Messes with your head.
At least I'm not like how I was on Sunday when I was in too much pain to move.
I finally got over all of the like hazy head and like general body aches that came weeks afterwards. But in any case, you were talking about Resident Evil 1 and you were talking about how it was camp, but not in the same kind of camp as 4 was.
Yes. And also wasn't as effective as horror because it was more frustrating than scary, I'd say. Mm. And in my opinion, Silent Hill kicked the shit out of it in terms of pioneering horror games, which might not be fair to say because it came out a few years later. But, you know. Yeah. Some games benefit from being one of the first, and Resident Evil is one of those, I'd say.
Sure.
And personally never really liked it much. So when Resident Evil 4 came out, I was uninterested. And I had a friend who also had a GameCube who said, "Have you played Resident Evil 4? I was like, "No, I don't really like the Resident Evil series." And they said, "I'm going to loan you Resident Evil 4. You are going to play through it, or I'm going to cut you."
That's a good friend right there.
To paraphrase. So I played it and obviously loved the shit out of it and bought my own copy as soon as I could.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because Resident Evil always does this. It sort of trundles along for a while with a bunch of sequels that are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the interest starts to die, they sort of go back to the drawing board and they completely rework the game. And then they bring out something that is like amazing. Incredibly good, which was what Resident Evil 4 was. And importantly, they sort of drop a lot of the established storyline.
Because
that's the other thing that's annoying about Resident Evil over time. They just add more convoluted bullshit to this tangled plotline, which basically boils down to Umbrella Corporation is evil and missed no opportunity to be evil. And Chris Redfield and his 4 friends are the only sane people in the world somehow.
And every other hero is somehow related to them, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, from Resident Evil 2 onwards, I'd say, basically every Resident Evil game is just, let's get all the characters from previous Resident Evil games, throw a dart, and that's the protagonist of the new one. Which changed when Resident Evil 7 came out, of course.
Mm.
Which was the next time that Resident Evil completely reinvented itself.
All right. and I played a bit of Resident Evil 7 and did not much care for it.
Okay. Well, let's get onto the broader topic of horror games. What is it you don't like about horror games? Resident Evil 7, I think, is a really effective horror game. Mm. I really enjoyed it. And once you get into it, it has a lot of that camp factor that I think Resident Evil makes work pretty well.
And maybe that was the problem, is I did not get, I only got a couple hours into it.
Right.
For me, and I am a big horror fan in general. I love horror movies. I love being scared. I love like being creeped out by watching a movie. I love horror aesthetic, skeletons and blood and guts, all that stuff. Love it all. I love all that stuff.
Doesn't everyone.
But doesn't everybody, right? Like, that doesn't make me special. For me, I have yet to find a game that makes me scared. Like, it's something about the ability to control your character that disconnects me from any horror element.
It is astonishing how much I disagree with you right now.
And that's okay. We can disagree.
It is astonishing how far apart our perspectives are, because I also like horror films and I like horror games. In fact, I think video games are the best at horror because you are a participant in the horror as the player character. You're right in there. You're automatically invested. You don't have to waste time trying to get the audience invested in the main characters because the audience is the main character. You can just start kicking the shit out of them and we already care because we're trying to get through the game.
But because of the inherent gameplay mechanics, there's no tension to be had in any of the sequences. If you fail, you start again. If you make it through, you get to the next area. There's no question. There's no tension in any of the sequences because it's a video game.
Well, the best horror games, to my mind, sort of create tension from letting you get through things by the skin of your teeth. And I think Resident Evil, the good Resident Evils have been very good at this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always feel like I'm short on ammo in Resident Evil 4 and Resident Evil 7. I always feel like I'm having to scrape together every last bit of ammo I can get because I'll think I'm sitting pretty on like 30 bullets and then I use like 29 of them trying to get down one bloody zombie.
Mm-hmm.
So I always feel like the when I can like scrape through the skin of my teeth, maybe it's not so much the risk of dying as it is the risk of running out of resources that creates the tension for me.
Sure, but then that gets us in the same place where if you run out of resources, you just die and then you start over. And the looping, the
here's the thing. I think Resident Evil is very tightly designed in that it's actually quite easy to get through the challenges, but it feels like it's harder than it is. Because you always feel like you're low on resources, but the game just like sort of subtly gives you it just when you need it. In fact, Resident Evil 4 actually had a dynamic difficulty setting that automatically like changed a couple of things if it sensed you were doing badly or doing well.
Sure. No, and I think that's fine. I you know, like a game like Left 4 Dead who that has a similar, you know, obviously like zombie horror vibe that also has its what was the thing in Left 4 Dead? What was it called? Dynamic director?
I think they just called it the director.
Sure. Well, essentially the same thing. If you were going fast and doing really well, it would make sure you were challenged more. And if you were having a hard time, you were challenged less. It was a dynamic difficulty. And I think like a game like Left 4 Dead really works as a tension building device. And Resident Evil doesn't for me. Why that is because of the single player experience, the just knowing checkpoints exist, knowing that once I get through this level, I never have to do that again. There is something inherently not scary about video games.
Well, have you tried suspending your disbelief?
I have. I have indeed.
I mean, that's an issue with like trying to have adversity in any game, surely. Mm-hmm. We always know we're going to get through it because we're the protagonist and we have infinite saves.
Right. But there's a difference between like an adventure that you're going on, like evoking that feeling of accomplishment in an adventure and evoking the feeling of of fear and horror and desperitude. That's not a word, but you know what I'm saying. Like
desperation.
Thank you. You know, the desperation that you are supposed to feel in a horror game isn't there because of the mechanics of video games.
Maybe I just get more immersed because I find it very easy to feel affected by like the horror and the threat in a horror game like Resident Evil 7. Hmm. When I first played Resident Evil 7, like for timing reasons or whatever, I could only play up to the point where you have to stop if you haven't finished installing the game, which is right after the first boss fight with your possessed wife, where she's got the chainsaw. And I had to like stop playing at that point and let the console finish installing it overnight. And during the night, I had like nightmares about what was going to happen next in the game because I'd been affected by it. I thought that was a really effective prologue in that game. Maybe I just like find it easy to get immersed. Well, if the game like establishes tension and like that I need to be running, I always get into it. I was like, oh god, I got to run. I can't like stop for resources. I've got to run, and because everything's tense.
And maybe I think that's part of it. And you and I obviously, you know, like I am more of a movie person. You're more of a video game person. Because of the interactivity of video games, whenever there is a section where like you're supposed to run, I understand that you're supposed to run, but I also want to play around with the interactivity a little bit. Ooh, can I not run? Can I go over here? What can I do? So like, because I have those options, I am left in control of the pace of the game, and I'm not pacing it like a horror game.
See, that's the difference, because I want to avoid dying, not because like dying is any real like threat, but because dying breaks the immersion. Sure. Dying like interrupts the mood, I suppose. It's like that's my motivation to keep going, not because I want to protect myself, but because I don't want to lose my immersion. I want to keep things going.
And like I get that, and I can't, and I have been incredibly immersed in many, many a game, but it's that ask. It's that very specific ask of, we want you to be afraid here. And I've been afraid in games too. Like it's not just horror games. It's the specific ask of like, you have to be afraid. And if you're not afraid, the rest of the game is going to be chintzy or campy or cheesy. And I think that's where the break is for me. I think like, you know, a really good example of this is like Alien Isolation, which is a game I really did not care for because of all these things that we've been talking about. And I'm a big fan of the Alien franchise. And so I was ripe for like to get into this world. And it was just very boring to me.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I quite liked Alien Isolation. It was in my top five that year. I remember saying, it was the same year Shadow of Mordor came out. And I was like, what the fuck is with all these movie tie-ins being good all of a sudden? I might ask, have you ever had like a sensation of dread or horror from a game, from any game?
There was a really recent example. I talked about it with Nick over on the Escapist show. I played a little detective game called A Hand with Many Fingers.
I believe you mentioned this to me at one point.
I may have. It's a really interesting game, and it's basically about like rifling through newspaper clippings and.
Oh yes, this is the red string game.
The red string game, correct? And then you pin them up on a board, and you try to put your clues together. And if you can put the right clues together, that opens up new things, and you can get access to more clues. And it's a very short, interesting little detective game that you're basically locked in three rooms. And as the game goes on, it has these really subtle atmospheric horror elements. The phone rings and no one's on the other end. You go down into the archives and like just the gentle buzzing of the lights. I was genuinely creeped out playing this little detective game.
Because you were immersed.
Because I was super immersed.
You were immersed in the experience of trying to get your detective's tasks done.
Exactly.
I suppose that brings us to psychological horror as an alternative to flat-out action horror, where the threat is just something's going to come out and bite your legs off. And, of course, that's why I like Silent Hill so much, because there's a lot of psychology in that.
Yeah, yeah.
In Silent Hill, you're not worried something's going to jump out and bite your legs off. You're afraid because you're being haunted by something inside yourself. You're being guided through something, and all the monsters are there. They seem like they're having as bad a time as you are.
I like that. Yeah.
I remember when I was making like some of the My Dev Diary games, when I was making like the two horror games, Life of Eric Zahn and Something's in the Sea, I wanted to avoid the three specific things that all horror games do, gameplay-wise, which are gore and violence, being chased by something.
Yeah.
And I've completely forgotten what the other one was.
And hiding in a closet.
So, yeah, I guess that goes with being chased by something.
Oh, sure.
I think it was jump scares. Yeah. Mm. Jump scares, running away and hiding from something that's chasing you, and gore. And I was trying to make horror games that didn't use any of those, which is, sounds like what your game, A Hand with Many Fingers, I think is what you said.
Yes.
It sounds like that's what it was doing. So that would be interesting to me on an academic level. Perhaps I'll check it out.
It got into my head because I was so engrossed in the loop of the game that the horror snuck up on me. And so I think that to me, and you know, I know this is me as someone who doesn't play a lot of horror games making a generalization about horror games, but the trope of wait until you find a monster, hide. The monster goes away, walk down the hall, hide from the monster goes away, it is super boring.
That was the answer to people feeling like horror games had lost their teeth if it was just monster jumps out and you kill the monster. Because what if monster jumps out and you don't kill the monster? What if the challenge is just running away from the monster? And then like every horror game was that for a while.
For a long time.
And then bringing things back around, Resident Evil 7 came out and said, hey, you know these first person run away from the monster games everyone likes so much? What if we just gave you a gun? What if we just brought the gun back in? Would that be fun? And it turns out it was.
It's very possible I have to give Resident Evil 7 another shot. You know, maybe I didn't give it its full due diligence.
Well, I don't know. I mean, from what you're saying, if you couldn't get into Resident Evil, I mean, if you couldn't get into Alien Isolation.
Oh, I really did not like Alien Isolation. An incredible amount. It really surprised me that other people like it in general. But, you know, that's fine. People can like what they like.
I mean, if you give RE7 some time, it starts to feel more Resident Evil 4-y as you go through it.
Mm.
You start getting into some ridiculous boss fights.
Yeah. I like that. I do like that.
Yeah. We have to fight the dad of the house in a small garage while he's swinging around two chainsaws on either side of a broom handle.
I think I played that part.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I think I played that part and I just didn't...
You don't think that was a bit, like, amusingly camp and intense?
I don't... It's hard to remember, as it was many years ago, and my memory in general is mostly shot. But I just didn't get the vibe. I didn't get that vibe. I want a horror that sneaks up on me. I want... You know, even something like your Bloodborne or your Dark Souls has enough other things happening in the game where the horror elements really do creep up on you, even something as front-facing as Bloodborne or Dark Souls.
I love things that have a horrific tone, but you can't really put your finger on why. Do you ever watch Petscop?
No, that sounds like a medication.
It was a YouTube series that was like presented itself as a Let's Play of a very little-known game from the PS1 era.
Oh, okay.
Which is, and it looks very convincingly like a PS1 game, where it's just this like weird abstract character going around this bright environment, like collecting pets.
Oh, okay.
But it starts to get this really weird, creepy vibe as you go through it, and you can't really put your finger on what's making it creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know, one of them shitty creepy pastas where it turns out, oh no, blood was coming out of Sonic the Hedgehog's eyes.
Classic creepy pasta.
You get like the characters like gets into these weird, incomprehensible situations, and like the person who's narrating the Let's Play starts getting more and more weirded out because he feels like the game's talking to him directly about certain things.
Sure, sure.
Then there are bits in the series where they just black out parts of the screen and you just hear the, like, it's been censored after the fact, and you just hear the player say something like, okay, now someone's trying to mess with me.
Yeah, and I like that, and I think that has a lot to do with the lack of immersion for me in horror games, which is, like, I know what I'm expecting. I have all of the pieces in front of me, and I'm unable to turn that part of my brain off to say, okay, this is supposed to be scary. Let yourself be scared by this. It doesn't creep. It doesn't surprise me.
Okay. Sounds like you're too analytically minded. You need to be distracted with some kind of task.
That's exactly it.
So it's not just like horror up front. You're not just thinking, here is the horror, come and get me.
Right, right. Yeah, give me like a gameplay loop that I can get lost in and then let the horror come in. Even if I know it's a horror game, I should be theoretically so lost in the loop that that the horror still catches me by surprise. That would be fun.
Do you ever play Spec Ops The Line?
I played a bit of Spec Ops The Line. And I mean, obviously I know of Spec Ops The Line, how right. the story creeps up on you. Exactly.
Yeah. It's more of a game that the horror will creep up on you if you're really into third-person shooters, I suppose.
Right, right.
And then there's people in the chat mentioning Doki Doki Literature Club, which is another thing that only works if you're willing to meet with it on the level of a dating sim.
All right.
Because you have to like dating sims enough to put up with the dating sim for long enough for it to start, you know, getting creepy.
Exactly. Exactly. Is that the bird dating simulator?
No. That's Hat Oafel Boyfriend.
Of course.
Doki Doki Literature Club is the dating sim where it becomes a weird, horrific sort of meta game as you're going through it. And sort of, it sort of starts off as a standard dating sim with three hot chicks in a Japanese high school, and then it takes a weird left turn into like traumatic and horrific concepts.
All right.
And then it gets really weirdly existential on an Undertale sort of level.
Sounds like my jam. But as I say,
you have to like visual novel dating sims for it to sort of take you up to that point.
I think like what it is it's the difference between Frog Fractions and Glitter Mitten Grove.
I think I know what you mean.
And I think expectations, you know, whenever you and I talk about, you know, dramatic arcs or comedy, like expectations, the setting up and the paying off is really important. And playing with that build and release of tension is extra important in something like a horror tale. And so when the expectations are right on its sleeve, it's hard to justify the punchline, if I said that correctly.
I suppose I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. Well, not much point asking you what you think the worst Resident Evil game is, I suppose.
I'm with you in those early ones, though. Those early ones I thought were unbearable, mostly because of the actual controls.
We seem to be in a minority on this.
Really?
There's a lot of people loved the first Resident Evil. A lot of people loved Resident Evil 2.
Mm.
And they loved the remake. Did you play the remakes?
No, but I have heard good things about them.
I don't like them as much as RE7 or RE4.
Sure.
I think they suffer a bit from being still caught up in all the broad Resident Evil plot, let's say, which is... which is kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of time Resident Evil protagonists just come across as really, really dumb. Like, they're full of moments where they confront like the big evil villain in a room and point their gun and say, "Stop, big evil villain." Big evil villain goes, "Ha ha ha, you can't stop me." And the big evil villain just walks out. shoot the big evil villain. Shoot him in the leg. And it all feels like some just stupid way to string together a bunch of giant bloated monster boss fights.
Sure.
I think the good games, Resident Evil 4, Resident Evil 7, are where you can sort of like, you sort of end up cheering with the main character. You said, yeah, you're still kind of dumb, but we love you. Leon Kennedy flings himself through a window and with absolute zero concern for his safety and says dumb things because the plot is establishing him as kind of pathetic around women, which is funny. And you like the guy.
Yeah.
I didn't like Leon in Resident Evil 2. I just thought he was just sort of like, oh no, I'm a rookie police officer. I don't know what to do and I'm dumb and I don't know how to shoot villains.
Yeah, no, and you know, after 4, I'm trying to remember what Resident Evil 5 even was, because I remember, you know, like 4 started its life as a GameCube exclusive, and I had a GameCube, so I was all about 4. And then what was 5?
Resident Evil 5 was the one. Resident Evil 5 was the one in Africa. Yeah, where you shoot hordes of black people, and they dress up in like traditional tribal outfits with spears and shields, and hop up and down hooting, and it's all a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, okay, I'm totally with you. Yes, I do remember. I remember that one existing now.
I mean, I don't know how much we want to forgive from just saying, "Oh, it's Japanese." You know what they? You know what they're like with the rest of the world. And it was funny. Resident Evil 4 did a thing that Resident Evil 8 is doing as well, where the game is set in Europe, and that's all the information you're given. The game is set in Europe. Where? We're in fucking Belgium? No. We're around the corner from Bruges?
Doesn't matter. That's all the information you need. General Europe. That's all you need. Then you get different accents that even white people are able to do.
Yeah, and apparently it's some incredibly isolated part of Europe where things haven't advanced for the last 500 years.
It's Europe. It's weird over there. I mean,
I'm from Europe.
Yeah, it's weird over there. I'm an American. To me, like, Europe is like one city, and then the rest is medieval farmland. I have no idea.
I didn't live in a medieval farming village.
You lived
under
in the
a
one
giant
city.
Castle,
right?
I lived in a small town with a cement works.
Wow. I know I was in Europe exactly once, and I know nothing about it. So I'm sorry.
Well, there you go. Yeah, so Resident Evil 5 and 6 was, they were doing the thing again where they got it right with Resident Evil 4 and then they just sort of churned the pot for a while before they realized they had to reinvent things again. And so those games are progressively bad. Resident Evil 5 is pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Pretty forgettable, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a pretty long game, but I struggle to remember a lot of it.
And then
Resident Evil 6 was really, really terrible.
Which is the Resident Evil game with the nemesis?
That is Resident Evil 3. But the whole nemesis idea was sort of a continuation of the Mr. X thing from Resident Evil 2.
Oh, okay.
Where you get chased around by a big indestructible zombie the whole game.
Okay. I know a lot of people had a lot of fun with the remake of Resident Evil 3 and the Nemesis.
I mean, even like the remakes, Resident Evil, like the 3 remake was much worse than the 2 remake.
Oh.
Because in both cases, I think they pretty much just like copy-pasted the setting from Resident Evil 2 and then just did a shorter and less interesting story in it.
Oh, okay. Sure, why not? Well, and I guess, like, to me, I guess that's what I'm assuming, and I know you probably can't say anything about the new Resident Evil because of embargoes or spoilers or whatever, but I guess I saw Nemesis only in clips online, and that's what I assume Giant Vampire Lady is going to be, similar to Nemesis. You can't say anything. This is me just saying out loud. Because I don't have an embargo. I didn't play it.
Well, I would say in response to that,
actually,
and I'm never sure what embargoes really prevent. I mean, embargo, I mean, there's no like legal way to enforce an embargo. All they do, all you, if you break embargo, all that will really happen is that the publisher will stop giving you free games.
Right.
And, but I'm not sure like to what degree, hypothetically, they could do that if you did anything.
Yeah. If they just didn't like you, they could do that.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not sure how much they'd forgive if I just said something on the lines of, I heard they were going to try to remake Resident Evil 4, and from playing Resident Evil 8, it seems like they lost faith in the idea and just turned Resident Evil 8 into the remake of Resident Evil 4.
Ooh.
Is that breaking embargo?
Well, you were speaking hypothetically, so absolutely not.
Oh, yes, of course. That was some hypothetical person who has also played the first like 3 or 4 hours of Resident Evil 8 yesterday.
Very hypothetical, though that hypothetical does get me a little excited. Does get me a little excited about the new Resident Evil.
There is a lot of Resident Evil 7 in Resident Evil 8 still.
Mm.
Same protagonist, obviously.
Gotcha.
So, you know what? I would recommend giving Resident Evil 7 a chance. I think by the end, when it starts getting really silly, you might find yourself into it.
Mm. I think that's fair. I've been trying that recently with games that I have kind of this motion. Written off is the word I was looking for. Games that I have written off in the past as, you know, stuff I wouldn't enjoy, and I have found enjoyment sometimes. So I think maybe I will. I'll have to check where I have it downloaded. Do I have it downloaded in here?
Well, you probably got it on something.
Right. I got it on something. Ah, yes, here it is. I have it on Steam. I can install it right now. Oh, wait, yeah. This is Resident Evil Biohazard?
Yep, that's Resident Evil 7.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
You see, what they did there was that they combined the Western title of the series with the Japanese title of the series.
Oh.
In the West, it's always been Resident Evil. In Japan, it's always been called Biohazard.
Oh.
So when Resident Evil 7 came out, in the West, it was called Resident Evil Biohazard. And in Japan, it was called Biohazard Resident Evil.
Is that really true?
That is true.
That is crazy.
It's not the only franchise that's done that. Yakuza Like a Dragon is exactly the same principle. In the West, it was always called Yakuza.
Mm-hmm.
And in Japan, it's called Like a Dragon. So they just combined the titles.
I'm kind of okay with that, I guess.
I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's neat. That's a really fun little twist. Because, of course, 7 takes place in a cabin. The evil is in their residence. That's really funny.
Exactly.
That's really funny.
You are literally in an evil residence.
That's really
Which I think
cute.
Was the premise of the first game, and that was kind of lost in subsequent games, whereas now you're in an evil city, and now you're in evil city again, and now you're in evil Europe, and now you're in evil Africa, etc.
Sure.
Resident Evil 6 was now you're in evil entire world. And they completely blew their load.
You know, that is I'm going to say shockingly good point, as if you don't make good points all the time. But I do think that that was something that they completely forgot about after the first one, which is, yes, like that was part of the calling card of the first one, is you're just in a big spooky house.
Yeah, I mean, well, you break down a lot of horror to that, couldn't you?
Yeah.
You're just in a big spooky house. Like The Uninvited, Alone in the Dark.
Ooh, yeah.
Basically every Hammer horror film.
Well, but you can, you know, and you can use that. You can use that setup to do some really amazing thing. I'm thinking of a recent really wonderful horror movie. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, The Empty Man.
Don't really watch new films.
Well, I know you are a fan of horror. I would recommend it to anyone out there. It's called The Empty Man, and it plays with your horror expectations quite delightfully. Thinking of, you know, big spooky house trope.
Is it Super Chat time?
I would say we have perfectly wrapped up all of our thoughts on horror games and Resident Evil in general. I say let's go to the Super Chats.
All right, Super Chat time.
Super Chat.
Goku-san DBZ, which I think is a Dragon Ball Z reference,
mm,
gives $5 gives $5 to say, personally, I find Resident Evil Code Veronica and Resident Evil Revelations to be underrated. Thoughts? P.S. Personal favorite game, original RE2. I never played Code Veronica. I group that with all the pre-Resident Evil 4 games, where it was not really for me.
Oh. And, you know, for a second I was thinking that Code Veronica was it a DLC or was it a way that you got to play Resident Evil 4 as...
No, that was a whole other game. Code Veronica was, I want to say it was a PS2 game.
Oh, okay.
Like a whole, like, installment where they could have put a number on the end, they just didn't.
Hmm.
Oh. It was about Claire Redfield doing something. You know, yeah. Umbrella Corporation does an evil thing. Yeah. Someone from the first couple of games shows up and sorts it out. Resident Evil Revelations. Yes, I played the first one of those on 3DS. Yeah, that was pretty good. More sort of like Resident Evil 4 DLC in a lot of ways, but, you know, they passed the time.
Absolutely.
Blade V8 gives £5 to say, yeah, it's of your established favorite games. Which ones do I think are still worthwhile classics and which do you think have aged out of relevance? You know, it's hard to say when you've got a lot of nostalgia for a game. It's hard to look at it objectively.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, I think I have like my paranoid concerns that maybe Silent Hill 2 doesn't hold up. I might need to find someone who doesn't really like horror games and has never played any of the Silent Hill games to give it a try and let me know how it worked out.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Do you know anyone along those lines, Jack?
Who also still has a PlayStation 2 that works? Yeah.
That might. Yeah. Yeah, because basically don't play any version other than the PlayStation 2 version.
Yeah, I know someone like that.
Which I think is the only version you can get.
Yeah.
These days. There was a PC version, but it's very hard to find these days.
I'll see if I can find a copy.
And don't play the remasters, for God's sake.
No. I'll find an original PS2 version. Don't you worry.
All right. Scott Daniels gives $2, but doesn't ask a question. He just wanted to throw us a tip there.
He did want to ask a question, but pressed the wrong button. I see one of our moderators over on YouTube, Honey Money, wanted to make sure we got his Scott Daniels question asked, which is, Jack, did you play PT when it was available? If that didn't scare you, I honestly don't think much could when it comes to games. And I didn't, because I'm not a fan of horror games.
That's also a game that's hard to find these days, because they took it off the PlayStation Store after Silent Hills got cancelled.
Isn't there, like, you can buy, like, consoles that have it installed, right?
It's very, very spooky.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm not sure how much worth it is as a proof of concept, because I don't see how you could, like, stretch it out into a full game.
Mm-hmm.
But as a short horror proof of concept, like a lot of short horror games are online, like Itch.io has, like, millions of the things, it's very interesting.
Well, that's what
a concept horror.
You know,
game.
Recently I was playing the Dread X Collection, which is something that I think they need to do more with horror games. With Dread X Collection is a collection of like 20 very small horror games that all have a hub world that you can explore, a spooky hub world.
Yeah, I played one of those. I think there's a lot of like very short concept horror games. I think the genre lends itself well to that sort of thing.
Yeah, make more games like that where it's just a bunch of little short games and you get a little hub world to explore them. That's great.
Goku-san DBZ again gives $5 to say, outside of Resident Evil, I consider myself a big Silent Hill fan as well as Fatal Frame and Clock Tower. Recently got into the indie horror game Darkwood. Yeah, I think I started that one. I don't think I saw it through.
Darkwood is a top-down twin-sticky one, right?
Yeah. I quite like the Fatal Frames. Very spooky, very jump scary though. Clock Tower, a mixed bag. The first one on the SNES is very good. Almost a pioneer in survival horror. It was doing like the running away and hide from the monster thing before everyone was doing the run away and hide from the monster thing. But then there are other Clock Tower games like Clock Tower 3 that are just incomprehensible and bananas and laughably bad.
Oh.
So don't play that one.
I have a small update for you. As you were talking, I quickly went over to eBay to see what copies of Silent Hill 2 on the PlayStation 2 are going for.
Go on.
Would you care to tally a guess Here's one, a tested 100% authentic version of Silent Hill 2 on the PlayStation 2.
Well, it's probably quite hard to get hold of these days. So, like, $50?
$160.
Oh, fuck that. Yeah, don't pay $160, but just fucking emulate it or something.
I would never.
Oh, neither would I. Don't emulate anything that's not good. Why deny money to our wonderful corporate masters? Emulation is always wrong. Anyway, Sif Morgan gives $199 to ask, Jack, have you played Subnautica? Tension everywhere.
Yanti, you were just talking to me about Subnautica, and I have it downloaded. It's on Game Pass, which I now have, and I have it downloaded, and I'm ready to play it, as yes, I've heard it has that wonderful creeping atmosphere, and hopefully enough busy work to let that sink in.
Yeah, you have to get into it. And there's plenty of busy work, because, you know, it's a survival craft 'em up.
Yeah.
The busy work is not dying.
Yeah. So I think a game like Subnautica will perfectly fit into games that I find spooky as long as I can get into it. But I mean, I get to play it as part of my subscription service. So
Yeah. If it's yours anyway, go nuts.
Play it. Exactly.
Tim Rowan gives £5 to say, finished work early enough to enjoy this live. So good question. RE4 is getting remade. Thoughts? Well, I brought that up earlier. Where I or a hypothetical person said that maybe they gave up on that and decided Resident Evil 8 would be the RE4 remake because it kind of has that vibe in a lot of places. But I would say don't remake RE4. RE4 is perfect.
Remaster. Give us a remaster. Like, let us play it on modern. Like, or can you play RE4 on Steam now? Or
yeah, you can play it on Steam.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. As long as it works, then we're.
I mean, you could do just copy paste the whole game and just. Make the textures higher resolution if you really must.
Yeah. Some nice quality of life updates would be nice, sure.
But otherwise, don't mess with success.
Agreed.
Samuel Surrett gives $10 to ask, Jack, were you not scared by Half-Life Alyx's Jeff? Have you played Half-Life Alyx?
I don't have a VR.
Well, then you don't know if it would have scared you.
I don't have... I feel like if you're asking me a specific question, you know that I don't have a VR and I'm also very skeptical of VR in general. I feel like this was a double dig at me for not liking horror games or not being into VR.
It is quite a spooky concept. I think the horror is sort of let down by the way every character in the game keeps dunking on Jeff. Because they keep trying to keep the quippy dialogue going.
Oh.
And then, you know, everyone just keeps taking the piss out of Jeff. He more feels bad for the guy by the end.
Aww.
David Foster gives $19.99 GBP, Great British Pounds, to say, are you ever really immersed in games, Jack, or are you the type of player that only half takes it seriously? Some people play like that, no criticism.
No. In fact, as we've talked about, I get lost in many, many a game. I more get lost in the gameplay loop. I am the kind of person that when I play a video game, I don't listen to podcasts or listen to other music. I have to only pay attention to the game for all games that I play all the time. So no, I'm not that kind of person. Who is too analytical to enjoy things. It's just horror. It's that very specific ask that I can't get on board with.
Scavenger gives $10 to ask a question in a similar vein. Two things pop to mind re-immersion. One, how is save points different from chapters on a DVD menu? Second, some games break the die or continue mold like Until Dawn, where you die but continue. So how do you feel about them?
Well, the chapters on a DVD menu is very easy because a little thing doesn't pop up when you hit a point in the movie that says, now we're on chapter 23. So, you know, there's no little saving or chapter icon like there is a saving icon. And of course, movies are linear and games don't have to be. Games are interactive. So it's very different. And what was the other part?
Until Dawn. Have you played that? That's one of them interactive movie games.
Oh, then no.
Where made by the guys who are making those like Dark Pictures anthology games at the moment.
Mm.
Where it's like David Cage style interactive movie, and at various points in the plot, characters can die, but you can like press quick time events to the, for them to not die.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't sound like my thing.
It's not that good, no. Goku Son DBZ gives $2 to ask thoughts on Eternal Darkness Sanity's Requiem. I really liked that game back on the GameCube. It has some interesting ideas. That was the game that had insanity effects.
Oh, yes, I remember hearing about that.
Sort of pioneering, really.
Hmm.
Where if your sanity was low, because it was like you had a sanity bar.
Yeah.
And if it was low, things would happen like you'd see bugs crawling across the screen or like a little volume slider would appear and start ticking down so you'd think you were sitting on the remote or something.
Oh, I love that idea. So I never played it. What I know is that when I worked at the used video game store, we constantly had copies of that. Like, we had a lot of copies of that.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, it was a big hit on the GameCube.
Mm.
I think it's hard to feel scared by it. It's a little bit too dodgy writing camp.
Gotcha.
For me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first time you get hit by the insanity effects, it's really cool. But then after a while, it's just, you're just sort of like trying to make them happen just to see what else there are.
Sure.
Say, oh, I got the insanity effect where suddenly you're walking on the ceiling of the room. Oh, that was kind of fun. Let's find more insanity effects.
Kind of like the first time you fight Psycho Mantis versus all the other times you fight Psycho Mantis. Like, yes, you know, all my other games.
Yes, we know what to do. Yes, we know what to do now. Thank you.
But the first time you fight him and he tells you about the other games that you played, that was fucked up. That was really crazy.
Kevin Greatrix gives $5 Canadian but has no question. The Atomic Lemon. Thanks, Kevin Greatrix, I suppose I should say. Thanks for the money.
How dare
thanks for
you.
The money and the easier life.
How dare you not ask us a question?
The Atomic Lemon gives €20 to say games like Subnautica invoke terror, not knowing what is lurking in the deep, as opposed to horror, which involves more of a tension and release cycle of a shocking moment being built up beforehand. Which do you prefer? You know, I remember there was a special term for this that I saw on one of those analytical YouTube videos I watch.
Mm.
But it was the horror of being next to something gigantic and realizing how small you are, which is the horror that Subnautica, you know, has a lot of.
Yeah.
Where you just, you know, the horror you feel when you see like an incredibly majestic scene, like a huge mountain, and just get a sense of how tiny you are.
Start pondering your own insignificance.
Yeah. It's not quite cosmic horror.
Mm-hmm.
The Horror of the Sublime. Thank you, Lucas Root. That was the name.
Horror of the Sublime. For that one, that's a great title.
Yeah.
Horror of the Sublime. Interesting. Yeah.
Which do I prefer? Well, now that you mention it, I guess I prefer the Horror of the Sublime. I feel that's much more impactful these days, mainly because there's less of it. We're all used to seeing really crazy graphics in games.
Yeah, like blood and guts. It doesn't do the same thing it used to do.
Mm.
There's only so much blood and guts. Unless
I'm going to say
cool.
I'm going to say no more super chats now.
Oh, sure.
Because I'm just going to read out the ones we've got. So if you give any super chats after this point,
we
might not
up.
Get to them. And you have no one to blame for you but yourself because we said as much.
All right. I like it.
Okay. Where were we? The Atomic Lemon. Okay. Meister Kleister Heister gives €5 to say, I've seen someone who never got scared by any horror game admit they got scared by RE7 in VR because it feels like you're there. Well, that's the whole thrust of VR, I suppose. I can see why that would be the case. I've certainly had more intense experiences in VR. It would probably be lost on Jack, old Mr. doesn't like things stuck to his face.
Give me $1,000, chat. Give me $1,000 and I will buy a VR thing and I will do all the VR stuff. I currently do not have Actually, in order to get a full VR thing, I'd probably need $1,500 to get like a good VR thing.
Well, that's how much you'd be paying for the Valve VR. Right. But you know, they sent us like two free ones of those.
Yeah, yeah, they did, huh?
Well, maybe they'll send us another review. Ask Valve, just like, they got money to burn, it seems.
I'll give you an outsider's perspective here, Val. Oh, it'd be great. I will do a whole series on Jack plays VR games. Whole series. Come on, Valve.
Yeah, you would be obligated to review it if they sent you a review copy.
I would. Oh, I'd review the fuck out of it.
There you go.
I'll do. We'll start up an entire new show called "Make Jack Puke," and it'll just be about me trying VR and talking about the headset and all the VR games that I do want to try. Some of them. I want to play me some Beat Saber. I love a good rhythm game, Yats.
Yeah, you'd probably like that.
Yeah.
Where are we? Lucas Fogel gives $5 to say, "I could use another where you go through another what?" I could use another where you go through another mutually enjoyed game's trophy data and compare actually difficulty of task versus trophy percentage. Oh, I see.
Yes, yes.
He's talking about that episode we did on the Dark Souls trophies.
We spent the entire time just digging through trophy data, which, by the way, one of my favorite podcasts. It was
yeah,
so much
yeah. We had fun. We had fun doing that.
We had a ton of fun.
Not so much in the audience.
Yeah. But you know what?
We have to find...
Yeah, we can do that again.
We'd have to find another game we both mutually really like and are interested in.
Yeah. Well, I think we just need another, like, we need another, like, watershed game, like another big, big game, and just see again where people dropped off. It would actually be really interesting to find a game that's more universally loved. Like, you know, Dark Souls is very critically loved. But I wonder about like a universally loved game where the drop-offs are.
Like a Breath of the Wild or something.
Ooh, there we go. I don't know if they have stats.
Yeah, a bit harder to get stats on that, of course.
Yeah, it would need to be a Steam game, a universally loved Steam game that we could get the stats on and like actually see where something like that drops off. That would be a ton of fun. I love that. Great.
Goku's on DBZ, who's cropping up a lot this week. Gives $2 to say Resident Evil Code Veronica was on Dreamcast.
Oh.
Apparently it was important that we know that. He goes on to give another $2 and say Veronica X for GameCube and PS2 and its releases.
Oh.
Thank you, fact checker, Dragon Ball Z liking person.
We appreciate the fact checks. What was it in Resident Evil 4? Was it just after you beat the game you could play it again as what was her name? Vera Wang? Ada, no, that's the
Ada Wong.
Not Vera Wang. Vera yes. Wang is the one, is the fashion designer. Ada Wong. So
that was the separate ways part. I think that was added on like subsequent re-releases of the game because I had the original version and that mode wasn't included.
Oh, okay.
They added it to like subsequent versions, and you could tell they made it after the fact because it was really painfully obvious which voice actors they couldn't get back. Because their characters show up and didn't say anything for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Okay. Adam Unwin gives £2 to ask, have I tried Pathologic? If so, thoughts? I tried Pathologic 2 because everyone kept banging on about it. Mm-hmm. I found it dreary and inscrutable and couldn't really get through it. I felt like a lot of the gameplay was just going to the objective it says to go to on the map and then having a conversation and then not really being any clearer on what's going on.
Sure.
Maybe I have the wrong sort of brain.
What about the Phantasmagoria? What's that one? Have you played that one?
Phantasmagoria, yeah. The old FMV Sierra horror adventure games.
No, what's there's a new one that everybody's flipping their lid about.
Phasmophobia
is that one?
Well, that's a multiplayer only game, isn't it?
Oh yeah, that one. Oh, so you wouldn't have played that one.
And it's an early access.
Oh, never mind. Yeah, I remember days. Like the internet was all a flutter like a month or so ago about that game, and haven't heard a thing about it since. As is the way with all early access games.
Yeah, that's the risk you take, of course. You lose your time in the sun.
Yep.
You risk, you like throw away the first impression.
Mm.
Which, you know, if you're confident in your product, you can build up niche appeal.
That's true.
But anyway, Spedivisku gives 10 euros to say, first zombies, giant animals, Kriazd European village, soon werewolves and vampires. Which classic horror trope should get an RE version next, and how would you explain it through Biohazard premise? I think I get what you're asking. Which classic horror trope should Resident Evil bastardize next? How about mummies? How about mummies? You go to an Egyptian tomb and load of bandaged guys show up, only it turns out it was because the Umbrella Corporation had a laboratory underneath a pyramid or something.
Is there a fun video game mechanic that you could do with curses, right? Because, like, that's the big mummy thing. Like, mummies aren't strong. Mummies curse you.
Oh, you could just use nanobots, couldn't you?
they were trying to harvest the power of the mummy's curse, and it turned out to curse you, the player. And so how would you make a mummy's curse into a gameplay element is the question.
You could just have like a generic like bad luck mechanic.
Ooh.
Where every now and again your gun doesn't fire or something.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Or environmental things that have a dice roll to like break. So you were planning on going through exit A, but the ladder broke halfway up. So now you have to go all the way around to exit B. Sure. That'd be fun.
GD Weston gives 5 Great British Pounds to say the best will be the RE that is accessible. So unlikely to be won. Well, fair enough. Not terribly accessible from a modern perspective, that one.
Wait, I came up with a better idea, Yahtzee.
All right, I'll just brace myself. I'll just get on the edge of my seat here.
It's a Frankenstein's monster parable.
Mm.
We take like the interesting idea from BioShock. You, the player, can choose to upgrade certain body parts and turn yourself into the monster.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then like the game, you know, like you beat.
So are you the monster from the start then?
Well, right.
well, I feel if you were like a normal person who was born normally and then you became the monster, that sort of undermines the whole premise of Frankenstein.
No, I meant you were the monster because you created the monstrosity.
Right.
But no, so like you're like a cop, you're like a normal cop, and you make all of these choices to like upgrade your body with different body parts to stop the bad guy, but then at the end you are more monster than man.
I feel like there's games that have done that.
Give me my Emmy. This is great. This is a great thing.
For some reason, I'm thinking of Raiden's character arc in the Metal Gear Solid series.
Sure.
Where he starts off as just anime pretty boy in Metal Gear Solid 2 and like replaces all his body parts by the time he shows up in Metal Gear Solid 4.
This is a great idea. This is a great idea. You're welcome.
All right, then. Dr. Zero gives 1.99 Great British Pounds. Lots of Great British Pound havers this week.
Wow.
I guess since we're in the morning, we're easier to watch from Europe.
Oh, I suppose.
From Europe.
I suppose.
Did we know Subnautica 2 comes out next month? Yeah, we're fucking games journalists. Who do you think you're talking to?
Oh, yes.
Also, it's not Subnautica 2. It's called Subnautica Below Zero.
Because you're in the Antarctic?
Something like that.
Oh,
I think it's called. Is it called Below Zero? I might have gotten that wrong.
Or is it just called 2?
It's related to cold in some way.
I'm looking it up. I googled Subnautica 2. Below Zero.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I said.
Okay. Yeah.
I figured it's much. Brain being, you know, weird on me. And finally, Craig Kennedy gives $5 to say Bugsnax was fairly effective body horror.
Nah.
Yeah, that's another game that gives off a horrific vibe where you can't quite put your finger on why. Have you played that one?
No.
Bugsnax.
But
it's a very weird game, that.
It has very large "don't hug me, I'm scared" vibes, and I dig that about it.
Yeah, very much so. But it's even then, it's not overtly. It doesn't feel like it's overtly intended to be a horror thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what the fuck it was intended to be honest.
Well, like you said, it's just that it's that very subtle "something's wrong, but the game is telling me that nothing's wrong" vibe to Bugsnax.
Yeah.
Just from watching the trailers, I knew that I will probably enjoy Bugsnax. That might be a, is that a PS5 exclusive though?
No.
No.
I played it on Epic Store, I think.
Oh shit. You know what? I had in my head that it was a PS5 exclusive, so I had it on my list, but no, not
PS5 and Epic Store exclusive, I think.
Oh, well shit, I got to get me some Bugsnax.
Was it just PS5? Is it not on any other consoles? Help me out, Chad.
I have no clue.
I, the professional games journalist, do not know that off the top of my head.
This is why we have chat, Yahtzee. They tell us things that we don't know.
Some people mentioning It Takes Two has a similar sort of "something's fucked up about this, but we can't put our finger on what" sort of vibe.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree with that, Andrew Clark. It is on PS4 as well, not just PS5. Bugsnax.
I got to get me some Bugsnax.
Well, someone just gave a super chat as I was looking at the chat. So I might as well say thanks for the 250 DOP, Emmanuel Toribio, who says the horror of Bugsnax comes from those hyper-realistic graphics of the PS5. All right, I'll take your word for it. Right. I played it on the Epic Store, as I said.
Nick, I know you're in the chat. Need a VR, need a PS5. Sorry, I got to do that. I got to play Bugsnax.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be realistically available at some point. Soonish.
They'll never be realistically available on PC either because of the global graphics card shortages.
Well, I think that's the end of the podcast.
I think so as well. I think we did some. I think overall this was a good conversation about why horror can work and cannot.
It was a profitable exchange of views from two different perspectives on horror games. Two very different perspectives on horror games.
I agree. So thanks everybody for watching and or listening to this later. As a small reminder, shows like this are available because of all of those wonderful super chats and because people become YouTube members or Escapist Plus members. That helps us make these shows where we just talk about bullshit and have a good time in general. So this is me gently reminding you of all those things as a way to guilt you into doing those things.
Well, that's the subtext of most YouTube videos and shit these days, isn't it? Please give us some money so I don't have to go back to work at the CVS.
And viewers like you. Tale us all this time.
So I've been Yahtzee Croshaw.
And I've been Jack Packard.
And tune in to the rest of our content. I've got another Zero Punctuation episode coming out tomorrow on escapistmagazine.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be doing the post-CP stream in the afternoon as well. From 1 p.m. Pacific time, 3 p.m. Central, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing next, Jack?
I'll be back on Thursday for Today We Play with Nick, our editor. He's playing something. I don't know what, or maybe I'm playing something this week, but we live stream 3 p.m. Central.
Yes. And we're super cash about it by the sounds of it.
Super cash. Don't you guys worry. Everything's super cash over here.
Remember to follow us on Twitter.
That's our Twitter names are right underneath us in beautiful graphics.
Yes, I'm not even going to read them out loud. You should know how this works by now.
You really should. Also, bye.
Toffee looks sleepy, doesn't he? But you should see how he reacts when he thinks I'm getting up.
Oh.
Why don't I just pretend that I'm getting up for a second? Oh, well, that's enough of that.
Don't go, Toffee.
He almost took my headphones with him there.
All right, we're leaving for real now. Bye.